Well, greetings and welcome to Caribbean Forum here on the Uhuru Radio Network, where we expand our ability to communicate and unite the struggles of African people towards victory and independence in our lifetime. I'm Ron Bob Semple, and here on the forum, we'll examine issues that affect Caribbean and Caribbean American nationals, both at home and across the diaspora. We'll bring you news, views, interviews, thought-provoking discussions, Caribbean theater of the mind, and of course, musical interludes. Well, the music world continues to mourn the passing of the Calypso Soca King of the World, Alphonsus Edmond Cassell, more popularly known as the Mighty Arrow, who has been battling cerebral cancer for the past year and succumbed to it on Wednesday in his hometown of Montserrat. During our second hour, we'll pay a tribute to Arrow, and helping us will be his mentor, the Calypso King of the World, the Mighty Sparrow. Joining us also to remember Arrow will be his fellow Montserratian, who is no stranger to these airwaves, playwright Edgar N. Cosey White. Well, the Jamaica Consulate continues its community outreach program and will be in the Tampa, Florida area next week. And joining us this morning will be Sandra Grant Griffiths. She's a Consul General of Jamaica in Miami. So we will be discussing this program as well as latest developments in Jamaica. So tell someone that Caribbean Forum is on the air for the next 2 hours. Heard every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Uhuru Radio Network. We would like to wish the people of Belize a happy 29th anniversary of independence, which will be on September 21st. But for those of us who know something about Belize, the celebrations continue throughout the month of September. Here is recording artist Bella Caribe with Sing Out, Rejoice. Here on Caribbean Forum, I'm Ron Bob Semple.
Sing out, wherever you're from.
Sing
and rejoice with strength and dignity. This is a song we wrote, every single note.
Every note.
This is a song to make us happy in this global catastrophe. Let's sing out for world peace.
You got to stop the war.
Sing out for hunger to cease.
And feed the people of the world.
Sing for the children. Sing for all the human race.
All over the world.
Jah Almighty, rejoice.
Rejoice.
Almighty, rejoice.
Rejoice.
We are from the Creator.
Rejoice.
We are
rejoice.
One big family.
One big family.
Our Father, the Creator.
Sure.
He gives us possibilities.
Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice.
Yeah, listen to the words of Bella. In a this time, you're really happy to have your neighbor. When the big earthquake comes, we never watch skin color. Hunger, de, hunger, ya, yeah, hunger all over.
Rejoice, yeah. And take a stand. Hold each other's
hand.
Across the universe. Don't let it get no worse.
All over the world.
We are one color. One blood,
one
day.
One love,
we
one
can
destiny.
Use one power. But justice all.
Sing out, sing out,
sing out, sing out,
wherever you're from.
Sing out,
wow.
Sing out.
Sing and rejoice, unite across your land.
Sing out,
you hear?
This is a song for you. This is a song for me.
What you want me?
This is a song to set us free if we sing in harmony.
Every place, put a smile on every face. Jah Almighty, rejoice,
rejoice, rejoice.
Almighty, rejoice.
Rejoice,
you're my sister, rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice,
you're my brother, rejoice. We are from the Creator.
one doctor if we learn to ease the pain. Rejoice and hold my hand, let our colors shine bright. Unite and stop this fight, together we are one. Furahini, rejoice.
Happy birthday, Belize. It's your day, Belize. Oh, land of the free by the blue carrot sea. Happy birthday, Belize, my beautiful country. Our land will be pledged to the liberty.
Let's rise up. Hold your head up, Belize. You've grown up independently. So let's rise up. Stand up, Belize. We are stronger by the great currency.
Happy birthday, Belize. It's your day, Belize. Oh, land of the free by the blue currency. Happy birthday, Belize, my beautiful country. On land will be pledged to the liberty.
Happy birthday, Belize. Happy independence. Happy birthday from the Bumatamba.
Belize, born in 1638. Through hurricanes, fires, still looking great. Historically, Peter Wallace King, Belize became our name. In 1981, independence, we claim.
Happy birthday, Belize. It's your day, Belize. Oh, land of the free by the blue carrot sea. Happy birthday, Belize, my beautiful country. Our land will be pledged to the liberty.
Let's rise up. Hold your head up, Belize. You've grown up independently. So let's rise up. Stand up, Belize. We are stronger by the great currency.
Yes, happy birthday, Belize, the 29th anniversary of independence on September 21st. Belize, the only English-speaking country in Central America. And, of course, Belize is known for their Punta Rock dance. And I'm sure you Belizeans that are listening are probably doing some of that Punta Rock right now. You're listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network. And now we turn to the Caribbean news in five. The three hurricanes are swirling in the Atlantic at the same time for the first time in 12 years. Hurricane Carl rapidly intensified into the sixth hurricane of the season after crossing Mexico's Yucatan and emerging in the southern Gulf of Mexico. It made landfall yesterday but has weakened to a tropical storm not before taking two lives. However, because of its massive size, Igor is living up to its name as a monster and will more than likely make a direct hit this weekend on the island of Bermuda, which was devastated by Hurricane Fabian just 7 years ago. Hurricane Julia, no threat to land, is racing north into the Atlantic and weakening along the way. It is expected to dissipate within a few days. The last time three hurricanes were in existence was in 1998, when there were actually four hurricanes alive at once. Georges, Ivan, Jean, and Carl were all active on September 26th of that year. Coincidentally, the same basic set of storm names was used in 1998 as in 2010, although some of the 1998 names have since been retired. Alphonsus Aro Cassell, calypso soca king of the world, who won global fame with his hit 1982 Hot Hot Hot, died on Wednesday at his home on the Caribbean island of Montserrat after battling brain cancer for the past 2 years. In the 1970s, he was influenced by the Trinidadian musician the Mighty Sparrow, the undisputed international king of calypso. Cassell was crowned Montserrat's calypso king 4 times before focusing on his international career. In the 1980s, he performed on tours throughout Africa, the United States, Europe, and Japan. He was considered Montserrat's most famous citizen. the mighty Arrow, dead at the age of 60, is survived by 4 children and 2 grandchildren and millions of music fans. His funeral is scheduled for October 1st. According to U.S. authorities, a former Texas elementary school teacher has been indicted by a federal grand jury accused of molesting school children in Curacao and taking pornographic photographs of them. Stephen Wayne Suduth, 35, was indicted on 7 counts, including engaging in illicit sexual conduct with students in a foreign country, production, transportation, and possession of child pornography. He has remained in jail in Austin County in lieu of $500,000 bail since his arrest. He's expected to be transferred into federal custody. If convicted, Suduth faces a maximum sentence of 30 years in prison. Barbados Prime Minister David Thompson has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. His personal physician, Dr. Richard Ishmael, said that a biopsy had confirmed that Thompson has carcinoma of the pancreas manifested in the form of a tumor of his pancreatic gland. He said that the location of the tumor has made it difficult to remove it. The Prime Minister is currently hospitalized in New York, having been flown back to the institution after he complained of complications only 2 days after he returned to work in Barbados. Despite the global recession, tourist arrivals in the Turks and Caicos Islands increased by 25% for the first half of this year when compared with the same period last year. Also, the Bahamas recorded nearly 3 million visitors in total for the first 6 months of the year, with air arrivals to the country up 20,000 from the 2009 corresponding period. As economic woes rippled across Europe this year, tourists from that market also began declining. The trend was especially noticeable in the Eastern Caribbean, which depends more heavily on European tourists than Northern Caribbean islands closer to the United States. The September 30th invalidation deadline for all old birth certificates issued by Puerto Rico is drawing near. Community leaders have started a final push to educate island-born residents of Connecticut about how to get new ones. The original deadline of June 30th was extended because of widespread confusion about the program designed to improve the security of its birth certificates. Democratic State Representative Andres Ayala of Bridgeport said that Connecticut has done a better job of disseminating information than most states, but that more needs to be done. The State Latino and Puerto Rican Affairs Commission, which has led your education drive, including television and print campaign, efforts to reach people still unaware of the change, now focuses on community outreach through schools, towns, advocacy groups, and churches. And that's the Caribbean News in 5. After this musical interlude, we'll be chatting with the Consul General of Jamaica.
One more disciple leave the yard. But if you think so, we are going to stand up and wait. No way why we hold the gate to you. Nothing so at all, but I'm an Anya, I'm an Banya, I'm a Livia, because I cannot die. No visa, what a boy, yeah. Belly full, yeah. Sweet Jamaica. And check out the facts. Is a cool even thing Jamaica love. But when you run from a problem, it never solve. No man wants to get involved at all. We sit down and ball. But I'm an Anya, I'm an Banya, I'm a Libya, pick up America. No visa, but a boy, a belly full, yeah. Sweet Jamaica. 5 flights a day to Miami. Remember saltish fritters, fuller and pure. Wash it down with a high school beer. A true, it's no bad at all. But I'm an Anya, I'm an Banya, I'm a Livia. Figo a Canada. No visa, pata boya, and belly full ya, sweet Jamaica.
Sweet Jamaica, Ayman Banya, by Pluto Shervington. You tuned into Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network, heard every Saturday from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. And joining us on the line this morning is the Consul General of Jamaica, the Honorable Sandra Grant Griffiths. Good morning, Ms. Griffiths, and welcome to Caribbean Forum.
Good morning, Mr. Bob Semple, and thank you for the opportunity, and good morning to your listenership.
It's a pleasure to have you on the airwaves with us. Ms. Griffiths, as you celebrate your second anniversary as the Consul General of Jamaica to Florida and the Southern United States, what have been some of your challenges since you left the post of Chief of Protocol?
Well, I could almost say that I have not had any unsurmountable challenge, because what I have found is that the community here in South Florida and beyond have been most welcoming, supportive, and in the slight hiccups we have had, we've been able to deal with them together. But of course, my thrust is engagement with our community, with officialdom of the states and counties and so on in which we operate, with my peers in terms of the Caribbean community here and other nationalities, in terms of the consular reach of the group in which we are operating. And what I find is that the sense of community unity in my community is something I want to work on. So hence we have organized ourselves and have provided a number of outreach activities to speak directly to our community and to ensure that the engagement that we have is a long-term and conducive one and not one that's activated when we have a crisis in Jamaica. So my challenge, therefore, is to keep the communication lines open and conducive and mutually supportive.
Speaking of crises, there's a dengue fever epidemic that is causing concern throughout the Caribbean and Latin America. How severe is it on the island of Jamaica, and what precautions are being taken by your government to control the spread of this disease?
I am not aware that it is severe in Jamaica. There have been some cases reported, and it is, of course, worrisome, because dengue is something that we had hoped we had dealt with comprehensively prior to this. But rest assured, the government of Jamaica has a very efficient special projects disaster and epidemic unit. And that unit is on top of all that is required to make sure that the spread of dengue does not affect Jamaica, because we are very proud of our health indicators and eradication of diseases that are communicable and transferable, like dengue, are part of what we do, and we do it with dispatch. They always, this is the Ministry of Health now, convert and divert the resources necessary to get on top of any such outbreak. I do not have at my hand the immediate figures, but by the time I get to Tampa, which is where we're heading for on the 24th and 25th, and that question arises in my town hall meeting, and you can be sure I'll be able to say exactly what is the situation on the ground in Jamaica.
I'm sure it may be asked. It is believed that, and this is more of a general question, it is believed that the fever has been present in the Caribbean for the past 200 years.
It is endemic, but Jamaica has not had as severe cases as some of our Caribbean colleagues have had.
Right, because, you know, in the early 1950s, it was isolated in Trinidad. It was first isolated in Jamaica in 1977, and almost half of the population of Cuba was affected in 1981. Has the Caribbean been ignoring the severity of this deadly virus?
I do not imagine so, because there is a health forum under the CARICOM government's head of government's umbrella. And that health forum is very concerned with the health of the Caribbean community. And not just because of our own care for our populations, but we also are a people and country who invite others to come as part of our development and economic platform. We invite tourists and we invite others. And we would not want to put either our population at risk health-wise or our visitors at risk health-wise. So we always are very careful in our response as a region, and especially so as Jamaica. There have been recurring cases over the years, every so often. But as I say, I am always aware that they are dealt with comprehensively and that we invite into our countries the experts who can provide the expertise we want, if it's necessary. And we've always worked with PAHO and other bodies in a very comprehensive way to ensure that our populations remain healthy and viable.
There's always been a concern about tourists coming into not only Jamaica but throughout the Caribbean and not being scrutinized health-wise as a result of bringing in all types of diseases, whether it's be AIDS or dengue or whatever. Should more emphasis be put on the screening of tourists coming into the Caribbean, in your estimation?
Well, of course, I cannot speak for the Caribbean countries, but I do know that Jamaica...
I don't expect you to.
Screens comprehensively. We have health stations at all our international airports. Passengers are required to self-declare. But observation is also taking place. And where there is an detection of anything that's untoward, people are scrutinized and quarantined and dealt with as they ought to be. We are part of the global watch list. We work with the WHO and PAHO conditionalities. And therefore, we put up alerts for all the communicable diseases, the dengue fever, all that should be alerted. When we had the foot and mouth disease, when we had other incidents, the outbreaks, we were very much on top of what was required, standard by the Ministry of Health and WHO and PAHO.
You mentioned that you'll be in the Central Florida area next week. What is the purpose of your visit?
And this is what we wanted to talk to you and the leadership about, although healthcare is also important. We are coming into Tampa as part of our outreach program. We have been doing this since I took office in 2008, where every quarter we try to go to a new location in our community. And when I say community, I mean extending as far as 13 southern states, which we cover, because we've gone to Atlanta, and we've gone to Texas. And we are doing Florida in a comprehensive way. We started in Lauderdale Lake, so we came first. We've gone to Orlando. We've gone to West Palm. We've gone to Lauderhill. And now we are heading for Tampa, and this will take place on the 24th and 25th of September.
Where will this be?
We will be at the University Area Community Development Center at 14013 North 22nd Street. In Tampa, zip code 33613. And when we say we're in Tampa, we're inviting the population in the adjoining jurisdictions and environs to come in as well. And we expect to be getting some Jamaican community members all the way from Orlando. We've already spoken to some persons there. So persons are invited to come. It's not just for the Tampa population of the community. It's for all who are near enough with an hour's drive who can come in and hear what we have to say. And it's important because we're going to offer services, meaning passport application services, citizenship services, legalization of documents, all the consular services. We've invited the RGD to come up to talk about the certificates, vital documents, the birth, death, and so on. We have invited the National Land Union to talk about land reform and all that has to do with those who have properties and titles in Jamaica they want to have questions answered about. We are also inviting and have invited the tourist boarders on board to talk about tourism in Jamaica and also the package available to Jamaicans to go and rediscover Jamaica. And we have also invited, importantly, a number of private sector corporate partners who are Jamaican-based firms to come and talk about their instruments and products and services. So we're going to have ZMBS with us. We're going to have Jamaica National. We're going to have... Grace Western Union, and Digicel has indicated that they want to come in as well. They are a communication provider, so we're going to have a suite of services and of this discussion with this town hall meeting.
When immigrants get an opportunity to get information from representatives of their respective governments, there is usually a degree of apprehension, especially for those who may be undocumented. Is provision being made for those who may request a private one-on-one consultation?
Well, the consultation is one-on-one because although we have information desks, they are separate and apart from each other. But we can arrange for private conversations if so required. But rest assured that the way the room is organized and our particular desk, because the consulate has a section, it would not be public or at a point where other persons can be part of the conversation. I'm glad you mentioned that aspect because we've also asked the Caribbean Bar Association, with whom we partner on a number of occasions, to join us, and they are going to be able to talk to our citizens about the responsibilities of regularization and immigrants in particular who want to regularize themselves. But I want to make the point that our remit is not to report persons. It's not to interfere in persons' arrangements. We are merely offering the services that the government of Jamaica makes available for its population. And everyone, documented or undocumented, require documents to move to the next step. And part of the process is providing documentation, the birth certificates, the passports, that will provide the opportunity for persons to move forward when the opportunity arises.
One of the participating agencies is the National Land Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Are non-nationals allowed to purchase land in Jamaica?
Yes, they are. And the NLA will be able to explain how that happens. Unlike some of our other colleague countries, we do not have severe restrictions on land ownership in Jamaica. We encourage investment. We encourage that kind of development. And therefore, persons who wish to invest in Jamaica, be it in housing stock or be it in business or in the tourism area, opportunities abound, and these agencies are going to be able to talk about how this can be done. We had actually invited the National Housing Trust to come up to see what they were doing, because there is a proposal for building what would be called retirement homes in Jamaica, and they are fully engaged in that, but regrettably the timing was not right for them, because they are also having a similar outreach in Jamaica. And we wanted them to join us to tell us what they were doing and how their programs could fit into population plans to retire to Jamaica, invest in Jamaica, and other housing stock. But next time we hope to have them on board. But that apart, we land will be able to talk about physical property and how you can be part of that.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network, and we're chatting with the Consul General of Jamaica out of Miami. And if you'd like to join us in discourse, our telephone number here is 727-565-1599. That's 727-565-1599. If you're calling us from across the pond in the United Kingdom, you can call us at 44020-8133-6629, or you can Skype us at Uhuru Radio. That's UHURU Radio, or you can email us at DJ, as in disc jockey, at uhururadio.com. Mrs. Griffiths, what are some of the investments that one would be interested in the land of wood and water?
Well, as I say, there will be with us for this outreach a number of companies who are offering investment and saving programs. So Jamaica National is fully versed. They've been in the market for several decades and more. Victoria Mutual will be there as well, and they will talk about investment plans, saving projects, and also the bridge to acquiring your own residence, if that's what you want. The Jamaica Tourist Board will be there, and they'll be talking about investment in tourism, what the attractions are, and in fact, investment would also include the capacity to establish an attraction that can generate income. Digicel will talk about their own operations and offer their services. But the Jamaica Trade and Invest, JAMPRO, who were here with us earlier on this year, have been here with us in the South Florida area, meaning in downtown Miami, were able to talk about the government's trust in agriculture and the fact that we are trying to be technology-driven and invite persons to invest in new technologies to do with producing food for to serve the country. So hydroponics, greenhouse farming, all those areas. And the second stage of production, meaning production of the actual items, not just traditional agricultural fare, not raw imports and exports, but to deal with the second stage processing of canning and finding niche markets for all that. And the Ministry of Agriculture is very much engaged in pushing agriculture on a scientific basis. So we have that aspect of it. We have the industries to do with tourism. Immediately, we are talking about tourism, and we think about Falmouth Trelawney and the fact that opportunities were being offered for Jamaicans and others to invest in the new historic village being created in terms of concessions and in terms of shops and in terms of the boutiques and so on that will generate income and move Jamaicans in Falmouth and in that area into a new ownership platform. So there are a number of things that we can talk about, and we are open to questions, and if we don't have information, we come where we get information from JAMPRO and others, and we provide it. The government is focusing on ICT, as I said, I mentioned digital, who is already up here, and they are an example of the government's opening up the ICT program and inviting foreign investors and Jamaican entrepreneurs. And we're also talking about renewable energy investment. So there are areas in Jamaica that are targeted for investment that offer particular incentives and programs, which we can always explore together once persons indicate an interest in a particular area.
Any foreign investor who is interested in investing money and time and energy into any country would have to make sure that certain things are in place, in the sense that throughout the Caribbean recently there has been an upsurge of violence and proliferation of drugs in the Caribbean. And have drastic steps been taken to eradicate the upsurge of violence in Jamaica, which could be a deterrent to one who is interested in investing in Jamaica?
This is indeed a worrisome trend that we have noted, but I can honestly say that the recent reports from the Commissioner of Police's Office, the Ministry of National Security, have indicated a downward trend in our crime statistics, and that is the first we've had such a trend in several years. We have, as you might be aware, appointed a new Commissioner of Police who the council invited up to Miami recently too. I mean, recently, the last 6 months or so. And he laid out at a town hall meeting the comprehensive plan that was being developed to deal with crime and violence and to ensure security and safety for the Jamaican people. Of course, there are constraints of resources, and we work with our international partners. The United States is critical in this. And despite all you might have heard, the relationship with the United States is very strong and very supportive. And we look to the United States, the UK government, for support in technical assistance and training and programs that will help our police and our security forces to better do their job. So, for instance, I can speak to the fact that the British government has recently joined with Jamaica in providing funds to establish a rehabilitative center for deportees out of the United Kingdom. It is something we hope our other partners, meaning the North American partners, will emulate, whereby there is a facility for re-engagement and retraining, and be sure that some of these young men and women who had left here many years ago, who come back without a reference point, and who therefore might be involved again in a recurring decimal of crime and violence, are able to retool to some extent with that assistance. So we're looking at different aspects of dealing with that problem. There's an anti-corruption drive in full swing, and several, because unfortunately some of our police members have been involved in at one end of the criminal scale or the other. There have been several, and meaning up to perhaps 100 or so police officers who have been removed from their posts over the last year or two. So we are attacking this on a number of fronts. They're putting in place improved facilities in police stations. There are police posts where they weren't before. And the idea is to increase the police force and the capacity of the police force as well, being technically and training and equipment to address the scourge of crime in Jamaica. Because we are very concerned. It's not just a question even of visitors or investors, but the population needs to feel safe and secure and able to capitalize on an environment that will improve production and focus on national development.
Since the surrender of Christopher Dudas Koch, the alleged drug kingpin who was extradited to the United States, there has been dissension among Jamaicans with regard to Prime Minister Bruce Golding's involvement. The media had reported that the Prime Minister had admitted to Parliament that he knew of the attempts to lobby the U.S. government to drop its extradition request for Koch. And he said that he had done so as the Jamaica Labour Party leader and not as Prime Minister, after earlier denying any involvement in engaging in the law firm of Manette Phelps and Phillips. Wouldn't the average Jamaican see this as a distrust of its leader?
I can't speak for how Jamaicans might view it individually. What I can speak about is the fact that the Prime Minister made a very fulsome apology for the actions that he himself admitted were not prime ministerial, to put it in one sense, and that the distrust that it would have fomented in the breast of many Jamaicans was something that he regretted truly. Now, there is, of course, the whole question of governance and the responsibility of government and those we elect to be always honest, accountable, forthright, and democratic in their dealings. And admittedly, there was an absence of this in some of how the whole Dudas Manette and Phelps extradition the story unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
But we are now into a rebuilding mode. The Prime Minister is the Prime Minister. The government remains in place, and therefore we are focusing on how we move forward. And what I would encourage is for Jamaicans, as I say, engagement is important. And we want to engage fully in what is going on at home, and not just in the sense of critical analysis that might not be constructive. We want to submit our views. There is, in fact, a joint select committee in Parliament comprising both abolition and government, to whom submissions can be sent from the diaspora with
yes.
proposals for engagement and improvement in our relationships.
Because unfortunately, sometimes you know you hear sound bites and you don't get the true reason of why things were done. And I appreciate that we have you here on Caribbean Forum, you know, to at least just lightly touch on this matter of concern, because it has been of concern. It has now become an international.
Well, you mentioned information, and it is important.
Mm-hmm.
We in the consulate have an information officer who assiduously disseminates every news article, every story that comes to us from Jamaica, and it is. It presents all views. It is not just the governmental view that it disseminates. We invite Jamaicans to be part of that mailing list, to send us their information. When we come to Tampa, we invite you to register and put your email addresses on. And we'll also unsubscribe at the end of our transmission in the event you want to change your mind. But information is critical. There are a number of websites in Jamaica you can go on. The Government's Jamaican Information Service is critical. The Tanning Institute has a website that speaks about Vision 2030 and how Jamaica is going to move itself forward to a developed state by the year 2030, and all the indicators necessary and where we are with each indicator and how we're going to move forward as a country. And we say country and nation. We're talking about demographic space, not geographic space, because Jamaica nation, therefore, is part of the diaspora, is part of that nation. So we want that engagement. Now, information is what it will take So even where there have been instances of errors and lack of accountability, and if we are vigilant as a people and we demand of our government and our leadership that level of accountability, values, and attitude and respect, then we, as a single voice, can in fact make a difference. We perhaps have been a little complacent in the past, and we need to get in gear with our own demands of our leaders.
I certainly hope that your fellow nationals, Ms. Griffiths, can rally around its government, because there seems to be a growing dissatisfaction with the leadership throughout the Caribbean, which could severely damage the region.
It is a time of, I suppose, change and coming of age, and where perhaps before we had compliant nationals who were willing to be directed only and not engage, it might have been so. And perhaps this is why we are having all this turmoil in Caribbean leadership. Persons are now cognizant of what leadership should be. It is happening right here in the USA. You know, you demand
Absolutely.
Of your government. Expectations are part of the political process. And if expectations are not met, and the expectations are not given as to why they cannot be met at this point or in the way you had projected them to be met, then people need to know. And this is part of what we are doing in communicating as consulate with our nationals. And we always are open for dialogue. We are open for criticism. We just want to be constructive, because our nationals have a way of jumping in with greater authority. And sometimes the facts may not support the authority, but we are open to dialogue, and we will, in fact, explain where we can, what might have happened, how it might have happened, and where we go from there.
We do have to strive for one Caribbean. Mrs. Griffiths, thank you very much. And before we let you go, just give our listeners a rundown of what they can expect at the community outreach program.
Yes, and I want to take the opportunity to thank most especially the Jamaican Association of Tampa, who has been organizing our program, Eva Lamond and her team in particular, because all this is because they are also persistent. I mean, we had promised to come. We couldn't come during August for Independence Church service. And she has followed up, and here we are now in September on our way. I also want to thank the protocol department in Tampa, Ms. Bridgefoot, who has created for me a nexus in some calls on the mayor and officialdom, the Chamber of Commerce and so on, as part of this engagement, which we'll do before we do our town hall meeting. Now, the town hall meeting, as I said, takes place at the University Area Community Development Center at 14013 North 22nd Street in Tampa. It will begin at 4 o'clock on Friday, because we are guided by Evie that after work would be the critical time. Persons can come in after work and engage themselves with us. And we'll be doing passport services, authentication documents, vital records, interfacing with our partners, as I mentioned before, by name. And
excuse me, Ms. Griffiths.
Meeting.
Are you saying it starts at 4 and not 6? Because that's the information that I have.
It's we arrive at 4 at the venue.
Oh, I get
we
have
you. A setting up. We'll be ready
The official reception and town hall meeting starts at 6.
No, the town hall meeting is at 7:30. I was getting to that. We get there at 4, so
okay.
We'll be available on the ground. It's two-part. We are doing services prior to the town hall meeting. So those who have questions about passports and so on can speak to us. There will be tables of information for our partners. So it is that we're going to have an expo,
okay,
an information shop,
all right,
from 4 o'clock up to town hall meeting time.
Oh, okay,
the town hall meeting starts at 7:30, where I've introduced, and we'll have presentations from some of these government agencies we spoke about who are going to be there. And then a reception will end the evening after the town hall meeting.
For further information, how can one call?
For information, you can call the consulate. We are at 305-374-8431, extensions 221, 232, or 233. And online, there's a flyer on our website at www.jamacacgmiami.org. Of course, you can find your association, Miss Evie Lamond, at her numbers there in Tampa for any information about venue and timing. But essentially, we'll be available from sometime after 4 when we are in place at the venue with the information part of it. And then the town hall meeting will take place at about 7:30. We did have 6 to 9 on our flyer as the general time because we were aiming for the after-hour crowd. But those who get there a little earlier can interface with us until the town hall meeting begins.
Great. Well, Ms. Griffith, thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing you all at the town hall meeting on Friday, September 24th from 4 p.m. on
and then
until.
We're there again on Saturday morning from 8 o'clock or thereabouts until about 1:30 when we would head back down to Miami.
Okay, that's Friday and Saturday, September 24th and 25th.
Yes, and we try to do after work for Friday and half a day on Saturday so persons can get their business done but still come and participate in what we're offering.
Great. It'll be held at the University Area Community Development Center at 14013 North 22nd Street in Tampa. For further information, you can call the Jamaica Consulate, area code 305-374-8431 at extension 221. Mrs. Griffiths, thank you very much for your time and all
Mr.
the
Bob
best.
Simple. Thank you so much, Angela, for sharing the morning with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Enjoy the rest of the week.
And the very same to you. Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network. As we mentioned much earlier in the broadcast, that the world still continues to celebrate and mourn the passing of Arrow, one of the most prolific calypso soca king of the world. And we'll now pay a musical tribute to Arrow for the next 12 or 15 minutes or so, and then we'll be joined by the mentor of the mighty Arrow, the mighty Sparrow. Enjoy.
ay 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 madam, ay 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 madam, ay 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 madam, ay 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 madam.
Madam jump and wine, shake your body line, madam twist and slide, bounce from side to side. In her Spanish lingo, she say, "Arrow, let me go."
Ay 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 ay, madam. Ay 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 ay, madam. Ay 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 ay, madam. Ay 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 ay, madam.
Madam jump and wine, shake your body line. Madam twist and slide, bounce from side to side.
Listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Well, welcome back. I'm Ron Bob Semple here on Caribbean Forum, where you can listen to us every Saturday from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time on the Uhuru Radio Network. We are celebrating the life of and paying tribute to the mighty Arrow, who made his transition earlier this week. The Calypso Soca King has over 33 music albums under his belt. His signature song, Hot, 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 sold over 15 million copies worldwide and millions of copies recorded in 12 different languages and versions. Arrow made history when he became the first Calypso Soca artist to be awarded the prestigious Member of the Order of the British Empire Award, the MBE, by the Queen for his service to music. Back in the 1970s, the mighty Arrow named himself after one of the most beloved Calypso songbirds, who he had always expressed admiration for. Well, joining us this morning is that mentor, the undisputed king of the world of Calypso, Slinger Francisco, more affectionately known as the Mighty Sparrow. Sparrow, good morning and welcome to Caribbean Forum here on the Uhuru Radio Network.
Hey, good morning everybody, how's everything?
Fine, thank you, my brother, fine, thank you. First of all, my condolences go out to you on the loss of your colleague, your friend, and more importantly, your mentee.
Mighty Arrow.
You were a great influence to the Mighty Arrow in so much that he took part of your professional name. Tell us when you first met Arrow and what was your first impression of him?
Well, from the word go, if I remember correctly, he was always a nice, promising young star. And this was years before he came out with Hot, Hot, Hot. But we always liked him and knew that he was good. But when he came out with Hot, 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 it took a little while for that song to grow, and then he passed every one of us.
Did I hear you correctly? You said, Sparrow, he passed every one of you?
Exactly. Yeah, we were the big stars, you know. And he, up and coming, and you know, we would give him little advice from time to time. He took the advice. And then later on, all of a sudden, this Hot, Hot, Hot thing came out, and he became more substantive than anybody else as Calypso.
Did you literally take him under your wing?
Well, we used to all sing in the Calypso tent together, and when we travel, you know, we go to Antigua, where you have so many other great ones, Swallow, and Short Shirt, and a whole lot of others there, you know, but... That was in Antigua, but he's not from Antigua, he was from Montserrat.
Montserrat, that's correct.
And but we would still hang out there. Still, Antigua became like a hotspot for that area. And we go to the VI Carnival in St. Thomas. And there's a certain group of us who would meet up every year. And then start watching and seeing how this guy, all of a sudden he's standing feet over us. And that ain't right.
What kind of advice did he seek from you and the others?
No, he wanted to compete with us more or less, you know, not to come for advice. The advice that we would give, what the directives that we would give, is by performing with him and measuring up, you know, equating each other's power. You know, so I'm not like, you know, you have to do this, you have to go to sleep at such and such a time, and you have to eat this food, and nothing like that. Just want to be, you know, we in the same company, we're doing our thing, we're friends, and we'll compliment each other in our way. And everybody knows when you're good, you're good.
And I guess the competition was good for all concerned.
All concerned, that's right.
What is it that makes the Mighty Sparrow who he is?
I suppose it's love for the audience. And the humor that I usually bring out there, you'd be surprised. I get a very serious topic and put some humor in it. People will be smiling from ear to ear. The way I handle it, even when they talk about me, remember when they said Sparrow there?
That's right.
I sing it on my own self. I hear he had cancer. I hear he had yellow fever. Something in his bladder with a double dose of leukemia. Two gossip mongers gossiping. I stand up in a corner listening. Before I could ask who they're talking about. A newspaper boy at a show. Sparrow dead. See this woman. A flag in she hand. She bans her belly and she telling everybody, Sparrow dead. Who killed the Sparrow? Nobody know. And imagine I singing a song about my own demise. And make it so humorous and people just laughing and say, this boy must be crazy.
Well, initially, that's the best way. Sparrow, initially, do you set out writing with the hope that it will be humorous, or you just take a serious situation and because of your ability to string words together, it just has that that humorous slant?
Well, whenever you have an idea and you're going to write something about it, you will decide from the beginning what you want to do. You want to tell a serious story, and then the lyrics become more dramatic and some big, long $24 words. And you don't want to use too many simple rhymes. You want to come up with something and prove yourself to be more substantive.
Mm.
And that's when you're doing a serious political something. But when it's humor, you're making a song and all of a sudden you're laughing right through. And then you're asking your friends and them, listen to this part. Listen to this part. Tell me what you think. And so it goes.
When but, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, sorry.
But in the case of Arrow, I don't know exactly how he operated privately. Between, you know, when we met, we was always in public.
Okay.
But, we never used to go home by him or anything like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you are writing and or composing music, do you need a certain atmosphere in order to have your creative juices flowing?
No, man. Anywhere you are. Sometimes you're on a plane. You're reading something. Something crosses across your mind. Or some phrase that politicians might use. And then all of a sudden you agree with it or you disagree with it. And you just think it's important, so you jot it down.
What is your process?
Pardon me?
What is your process of putting it all together?
You put it all together simply by reading it over and see if you like it and you want to pass it on your friends. What do you think of this? Or sometimes it all depends. They may ask you, what do you have for next year?
Mm.
Boy, I'm working on something here and this thing is controversial, you know, but I don't care. I'm going to talk the truth. This is how I feel about it and that's it. Boy, you can't do that because, you know, the big man will get vexed and all that. He didn't.
Who were your musical influences, Sparrow?
Me?
You were your musical influence?
Of course. I used to sing in school. This is where it all started for me. Here. Newtown Boys RC.
Okay.
Singing in the people choir. Singing in the people choir. Singing in, like you know, with the time they're teaching you to sing Tantum Ergo in Latin and the different kind of thing. You know? You ever hear about that?
Yes.
Tantum ergo sacramento veneremur cernui et antiquum. All these things, like, I use that as practice for my voice.
All those Latin phrases.
Oh, yes. We'll talk about all the American superstars.
Who are some of those that you listen to?
Nat King Cole, Billy Eckstein, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, all these different people who are always doing something. Whether it's a man or a woman, we had something, anything we like it like that. And then there were certain groups and a whole lot of other Calypsonian, and in Patois, they used to have people singing in Patois that were sort of captivated my attention, like Zingé Talala. I don't know that one, but it's one of them in Patois. Zingé Talala, Jean-François Mana Malewe, Jean-François Mana Malewe, Petit Poule, Vela, Mela, Souyo, Zingé. Boy, I couldn't sit down quiet. My father would bring the record and thing in the house and put the gramophone, and it's a long story.
When you were listening...
But anyway, we're sorry that Arrow is gone, and yes. We hope that the family would accept our condolences, and we'll see what can happen. Right now, I'm waiting to hear if there's going to be a cremation or the funeral, and if so, when and where.
Well, I understand that the funeral is scheduled for October 1st, which is in
right.
You know, a couple of weeks. Sparrow, you were quoted as saying that Arrow was one of the forerunners to the advancement of soca. What a compliment coming from someone like you.
The truth is the truth.
Mm.
A whole lot of people always wanted to find out how you feel. Hot, hot, hot. It was a big joke, too. Because they got to say something. Asking the question.
Well, when you celebrated your 75th birthday earlier this year, you were listed in the United States Congressional Record. Was that one of the highlights of your career?
I didn't even see that. I didn't even see that till late. So it couldn't be, it couldn't be one of my, the highlights in my career.
Well, it's noted that that's what occurred, but I'm sure you, I don't know if you probably put that in a lyric in one of your upcoming songs, but what are some of your other accomplishments that rank pretty high that you would like to share with us?
If I give you an announcement to bring me on, this could tell you a whole lot of what's happening. You know, you've got to learn how to bring on the Mighty Sparrow, and then you will see. Few things, but it's done so nicely, I think. When you get in front of the microphone, you try to say to the audience, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached where the air is rare. Only one Calypsonian have gotten there. Way beyond the realm of anyone's dreams, where royalty reigns supreme, we have found him. Unrivaled, unbridled, prestigious and pristine. Now, ever since he captured and conquered the Calypso regime, he has kept it in the highest esteem. And I must let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that this serenader supreme at that point in time was marginally 18, but he made a lady's daydream and a young girl's scream. So please, let's rise as we majestically present none other than His Excellency, the Honorable Dr. Slinger Francisco, known as the Bird with the Word. In Nigeria, he is Chief Omowale of Ikoyi. But everywhere else, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Calypso King of the World, the mighty, mighty Sparrow, and the music star, you understand?
The one and only.
All these different things that you hear me say in between there. These are, you know, Nigeria, he is this, and the Supreme Calypso King.
Well, Sparrow, most of the world knows that you have been having some health challenges. How are you doing right now?
Just like the average 75-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I am a 40-year-old man and having any kind of illness that should alarm anybody.
Okay.
But a man with 75, what do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect? Making a big issue. I saw him sit down in a chair.
In a chair, in a wheelchair.
A song. You know?
Well,
Some people are unreasonable.
Absolutely.
And rather than get into a tantrum with them, I just leave them alone.
Sparrow, I must say it was an honor and a pleasure. Way back when, it's June 10th, 1990, when we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the passing of Marcus Messiah Garvey. And you had the opportunity of listening to my presentation, and the compliment that you gave me has stayed with me since then, and I really, really appreciate it, my brother.
All right.
Yeah. Sparrow, before we let you go, how would you characterize the quality and the effectiveness of music that is coming out of the Caribbean today?
I think it is very good. Now, if you want to find out if it's better than what, or worse than what, the thing is that the young people are enjoying the thing, and whatever is missing, I do believe that in time it will give a more concise meaning, you know, and take a shape of its own that you all can recognize. But right now, I think the music that is coming out, like the soca, as compared to the calypso, you're feeling that you want the soca to be more calypso, and you want we are saying that the people in the soca is not asking for their music to sound like calypso. And the calypsonians should stop trying to compare all the time.
That's right.
If you want to judge by lyrical content, you want to judge by a melody which is more original, which one can induce more stage presentation and all of that kind of thing. But this is something you can do with almost anything.
Absolutely. How do you think your friend?
Compare the calypso.
How do you think your friend Arrow would want to be remembered?
As long as you're feeling hot, Arrow will be interested. I know. I'm pretty certain that he know he made a significant contribution, a big dent in the Calypso and Soca business, and I'm sure he's happy with it, and we are happy for him too.
If he could hear you now, could you sing a couple of bars extempore to your friend and colleague?
Ole, 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 feeling hot, 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 pom pom, feeling hot, hot, hot. Is it good or what? Put you on the spot. You got your gut feeling hot, hot, hot. Aye, aye, aye.
The one and only Slinger Francisco, the Mighty Sparrow. Sparrow,
the
thank
bird
you.
The bird with the word.
Thank
the
you
bird
very much.
With the word.
Thank you very
thank
much,
you
my sir. Brother, for joining us here on Caribbean Forum. It is always a pleasure to chat with you. And what's next for you, Sparrow?
I'm going down to Grenada. I'm going to go down to Grenada. I have a sort of family and not so many friends, except professional friends. But I still want to go down there. Most of my friends, Grenadian or otherwise, was out of Grenada. But I'm going down there. I have a couple of good friends and a lot of family who I haven't seen in years.
Mm. Has any one of your offspring, Sparrow, followed in your footsteps musically?
Oh, yeah. First one come to mind is Sergio. Sergio Don Diego Lorenzo, he is always coming third in some competition in Trinidad right now.
Mm.
He's doing all right. If he can come third at this point, you know, give him more time because he's just about 22.
Okay, he's ripe.
22, and he's you know, coming third, well, once in a while he comes first, but they always have some competition. Sometimes he feels that he was robbed. Don't worry, when you start getting into the big competitions, then you could say that.
But didn't you feel the same way at some time in your career? That you were robbed?
Well, very rare, very rare.
Okay.
Very rare.
Well, Sparrow,
when I get a man with no originality, no stage personality, he's trying to make me look small. All he has is a deep croon, but he won't change the tune at all. This song, that song, same melody, no variety. But if you don't believe me, you could ask anybody if it ain't robbery with me.
Sparrow, we can go on and on, but I want to make sure that you have some time to rest. I know you've had a busy morning, and we're going to leave our audience with a recording that you co-produced with Byron Lee. In 1975, If. And
yes.
That collaboration with Mr. Lee must have been something else. I know we're coming up in 2 months' time on the second anniversary of his passing. My brother,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And all the best
thank
to you,
you very Sparrow. Much. All right, right.
Okay, man.
Au revoir.
That was the mighty Sparrow, the Calypso King of the World, chatting with us from his home in Brooklyn. And it's always a pleasure chatting with him. Here is If, that was co-produced with Byron Lee. The mighty Sparrow singing one of his ballads, If.
If a picture paints a thousand words, why can't I paint you? The words will never show the you I've come to know. If a face could launch a thousand ships, where am I to go? There's no left me to, and when my love for life is running dry, you come and go, you send for me. If a man could be two places, one time I'll be with you. Tomorrow and today, I'll be beside you all the way. If the world stop, revolving, spinning slowly down to die. I'll spend the end with you, and when the world was through, then one by one the stars would all go out. Then
listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution. Set sail with the Uhuru Movement and the African People's Socialist Party on December 12th through 18th for a 7-day cruise to Key West, Grand Cayman, in Ocho Rios, Jamaica, aboard the luxurious Carnival Freedom cruise ship. Special guests include our very own Chairman Omali Eshetela, leader of the Uhuru Movement, and the very talented Ron Bob Simple, creator of The Spirit of Marcus Garvey, a one-man show in which Simple delivers an uncanny exactness of the legendary Garvey, transporting the onlooker back to the time of the revolutionary spirit that gave birth to the African Socialist International. Cabin prices are from $519 per person. Double occupancy and deposits start as low as $50 today, $250 by July 12th. For more information, please visit our website at uhurulegacycruise.com. That's uhurulegacycruise.com. Book your room today with Tanya's Travel by calling 352-232-2131. Or by email at tanyastravel@bellsouth.net. We hope you all can set sail with us on the ship named for our struggle, freedom. Uhuru.
Tune in to Africa Live with your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, every Sunday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. as we discuss issues facing African people around the world, from Brooklyn to Brixton, Cameroon to Caracas, here on UhuruRadio.com.
Tune into Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. on the Uhuru Radio Network. We examine issues that affect Caribbean and Caribbean American nationals, both at home and across the diaspora. If you're not listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network, then your radio is not on.
Listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Keep on grooving.
Yes, of course he is Mr. Music Man, and we will continue to refer to him in the affirmative. He is Mr. Music Man. We're talking about the Mighty Arrow, whom we lost on Wednesday. He has made his transition. He was born in Montserrat, and he became the Calypso Soca King of the World, and his mentor, the Mighty Sparrow, we had on for about a half an hour or so, and he paid his tribute to Arrow. He has been such a part of his life, and it's a pleasure now to join us, another monstration, Edgar White, who is no stranger to these airwaves at Caribbean Forum. Good morning, Edgar, and again, welcome to Caribbean Forum.
Good morning to you, my friend. How are you going?
I'm doing very well, my brother. We have lost an icon in the music industry. And you were both born on that island of Montserrat. Tell us of your association with Arrow.
Oh, man, this is love. One thing I think it's vital to remember, you know, Arrow gave music, you know, and he's in music's an ongoing thing. So it's we're blessed with that. You know, it's like the wood, man. It's a wood. And, he had to go to come. That was one of the last things that I said to him, you know. Sometimes you have to go to come. Yeah.
When last did you see him?
Well, I saw him several months ago.
Okay.
See, I've been working on a play. I've been threatening him with this play for 2 years, a play called Count It All Joy. And
What's the title of it?
Count It All Joy. It's from the Bible, biblical quotation. You know, count it all joy whenever you find yourself in diverse temptations, problems. Count it all joy.
What was the synopsis of that play that you wrote for him?
It's about a Calypsonian, and it has biblical overtones, but it's very much life, very much real. And I was just so glad that I was able to finish it, to give it to him, that he loved it, and he really wanted to perform, because it was an excellent vehicle for him. But if not he, his brother, Hero.
Hero, right.
Absolutely will be, you know, doing the music. So it's full circle. It's full circle. What's amazing is I knew, I could feel, you know, no one had to call me to tell me that Arrow passed. I could feel it. I could feel it during the night, man. My only prayer for him was that, you know, that it wasn't more pain than he could bear, you know.
And suffering.
Someone had to give him the permission to leave, and I think his sister and his family, you know, they gave him that permission, and he finally, you know, did that. But it's definitely not over. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. He has done a tremendous influence in the music, in soca music, and it's going to continue all the more so now. And Montserrat definitely needed him. He was that energy force, that charismatic energy force that he needed to let us know it's going to be all right even with that volcano, you know? And just seeing him, just his presence there was major, major.
Speaking of Montserrat, yeah, the current population of Montserrat is just under 4,000, extrapolated from
about... we have about 5,000, which is which is perfect. It's a perfect number.
Right, extrapolated
from... it's a perfect number for symmetry because it's you have 5,000 people with enough space to move around without killing each other. We're very peculiar people. No, it's just right. It's just right. Those who stayed were meant to stay. The remnant, we call them, you know.
Arrow never forgot his roots.
No. And there was no desire to flee it. You know, he could so easily have just got up and left. You know, while everyone was going in the other direction, he was coming, bringing things. He was celebrating the Montserrat spirit. And that shop was major. I mean, just the fact that people saw that, you know, it's the physical presence of his store, you know, and seeing the man daily there. You know, it's all right. It's going to be all right.
And you have not forgotten your roots.
I can't.
What is it that takes you back to Montserrat, Edgar?
It's just the spirit. It's just the spirit. We're very unique people, you know, very unique. Considering the fact of the islands that are so close, Antigua is just, 15 minutes away?
That's right.
Yeah.
You actually see
it. It's a totally, yes, we can see it.
That's right. I remember being on the peninsula there in Antigua and be able to see Montserrat on a clear day.
It's a whole other trip. It is, you know, whereas they're thinking in terms of huge tourist, you know, attractions and the behemoth, you know, shows. Montserrat is thinking about culture, has always been. We've never really drank that Kool-Aid of tourism, you know, that's the answer to everything. No. You have to know what you come from and what you're about, and we always stay close to our culture. And that's one of the few sane things about Montserrat. Well, I love it so much. You know? So we're going to be, I'm looking forward to November. I'm going to be in Montserrat and working on this play, Counter Joy. You know, at least
you're going to produce it as early as November?
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay,
yes,
okay.
Definitely. So it's right on, everything is, you know, it's not out time, everything is right on time. And the intensity is just building. You know, it calls for a full cast. For some things, you know, you can do one-man performance arts things. Certain things, you need a full chorus. It's like the steel band, you know? Sometimes you need the whole orchestra. Whole ensemble, man. Mm-hmm. You know, call and response within that. And there's so many different levels that you can reach. And the spirit will be very much Arrow. You will hear it in the music and the lyrics. So you'll be looking forward to that.
Do you feel you're going to need to make any adjustments now that he has made his transition?
No. I think the perfect person will be there on time, you know. The music will be there. His spirit will be there.
Okay.
And that's the way it comes together in Montserrat. It's amazing. You know, we never lack for actors. Everyone is, you know, I think it's the Irish influence, you know, definitely. Love of words, love of language, love of spirituality. Our pretensions we get from the British and our love of lyricism we get from the Irish. So it's a perfect combination. You know.
How is the eruption of the Sufrir Hills volcano? What mental impact is that still having on those 5,000 people that still live on the island?
Well, they always know it's there, don't you? You always look up, and it's very much with you. So, you know, it keeps you in touch. It keeps you in touch with reality. And now we're having the tornadoes are also paying a little respect. You know, but yes. It keeps you aware. It keeps you aware, you know? Because the thing is this, it would be so easy to forget. You know, the people are trying to manipulate weather all over the place now. With all of these different wind machines, they're trying to change clouds. They're trying to determine when they want rain, when they don't want rain, all of this. Yeah, and so everyone is telling God what they want to do. And so now he tells us what he wants to do. He doesn't speak much, just enough. So, yeah, it's reality. It's not a movie. It's not a movie. And the fact that so many people have stayed, it is the most closely watched volcano in the world. Volcanologists are there from all over the world. And the only conclusion they can come into is, we don't know. You know, final bottom line, we have no, you know.
Don't have a clue.
Some of us think
we know, right?
Yes, and it's the word that they always use is interesting. So may you live in interesting times. Yeah, that's what we're living in. Yeah.
And this is all over the world, not just in that
Caribbean
region.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's a very communal, global thing now.
Yes, sir.
But Montserrat, I think I see good things happening this year. And that spirit of Arrow.
Well, unfortunately,
is a major part of it.
Unfortunately, it's going to take the passing of Arrow to have a spotlight shone on Montserrat, but I certainly hope.
But my friend, isn't what is the biblical thing? You spread a seed, and if it falls on good ground, and that's why I say you have to go to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant process of yes, you go to become more, you know, and that's the beauty of the music. And certainly, it's a whole next generation of Arrow right there, you know, Montserrat is that. And so, yeah, I'm very optimistic about it. I'm not worried at all in that. You know. As I say, the main thing for me is that he had to be given the permission to say, okay, it's all right, yeah, I can go. You have to have that permission to let go. And you only do that when you have people who really about you, who really love you and affirm you. And he's definitely had that with his family. A global family, in fact. You know, not just Montserrat, global family.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network, heard every Saturday from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. We are continuing the celebration of the life of the great, mighty Arrow, who made his transition on Wednesday after a year-long battle with cerebral cancer. And we're talking with Edgar White, a playwright and musician and also a confidant and an associate of the late, mighty Arrow. Edgar, first of all, Edgar, in case you would like to join us in discourse, you can give us a call here at area code 727 if you're calling within the United States. That's 727-565-1599. If you're calling us from across the pond, from the United Kingdom, it's 440-8133-6629. You can also Skype us at Uhuru Radio, and you can also email us at DJ as in disc jockey at uhururadio.com. I just mentioned a moment ago, Edgar, that you are also a musician, and while talking with the Mighty Sparrow a while ago, I mentioned to him or reminded him of a quote that he made about Arrow, saying that Arrow was one of the forerunners to the advancement of soca. Do you agree?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. He was soca, you know. Absolutely. He was made to do that. And, and I love the fact that Arrow was totally at peace with that. Arrow said, well, that's what you were about, Dan Daddy. And Arrow loved the music, you know. Sparrow loved Arrow's music.
Oh, yes, yeah.
He loved it. You know, it wasn't this competitive foolishness that gets in the way of so much stuff. It's another voice and it's another spirit, but it's a continuation of that, of the whole African thing, man. Sparrow did so much, you know, Road March King for so many years in his, you know, in his particular field.
And that consistency is something
that
else.
Absolutely passing from generation. Incredible. Absolutely. How You remember how long ago they had the thing about a sparrow dead?
That's right. You talked about that. You talked about that. That's right. You sang a little bit of it for us. You know, sparrow ain't going anywhere.
Sparrow said,
I'm 75 years old. You know, what do you expect? I must get sick. You know, you're complaining that I'm singing out of a chair. And what? I'm 75 years old. I will get sick. You know, sparrow dead. Sparrow ain't. So he's heading. He's heading off to Grenada, you know, to hang with the boys and the family.
That's why I say with the music, you see, the thing is this. This is why I love the drum so much, because the drum, it just passes, man. It comes from the skin of an animal, right? And it transforms. You play. It can only be done from the hands. You play it with the hands, and the spirit continues. It's a passing on from wood to, you know, to what to you know, part of our flesh, and that's nature. It's you know, it's not it's a visible and it's a spiritual thing that you can't hide from. You know, it overpowers the intellect. It just takes you.
You take me back to Crucificado, the days of Crucificado.
Yeah. Well. It's that, you know, but that's why we don't, you know, we can do it and not fear, because we know it's only transformation. That's what's happening, and it really is transition. I mean, it sounds, you know, but that's all it is. It's going. I think I sent you, about a week back about my grandson being born.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and the photographs and all of that, and that is what it is. It's just a continuous,
that's right.
Absolutely going from to.
As you said, you know, when you talk about life after death. You're talking about having a child to carry on.
It's that. And then when the children, who I love, which is why, you know, with Montserrat, I can never go far away from Montserrat. Every time I go back, I see the faces, and I look to find my face among those faces.
Mm.
You know? Mm. The next. And that's the continuum. That's the continuum. That's the magic. Yeah, it's in the innocence that's still there, and so you never know who is going to end up doing what. You don't. As I always tell the students there, you know, who are studying, learning the instrument. I say you don't choose your instrument; the instrument chooses you, and that's why some are chosen with a voice, like Arrow was chosen. He was chosen to do what he did. His charismatic thing to sell it through the voice. Hero is incredible musician, a total musician who can sit down and do and form, write and create. You know, create stuff. You know?
How do you think your friend Arrow would want to be remembered?
Yeah. Pardon?
How do you think your friend Arrow would want to be remembered?
Oh. I think as an inspirer, you know, as someone who loved where he came from, and he was always at peace. He was at peace because how many of us do what we want to do? You know, really, who can really love what? And he, there's so many. He was gifted in many different areas, but music was his piece of it. And he had
started as a businessman.
Do that. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He could so easily have just been laid with that safe, you know, and been frustrated. You know how we all. So you, how many do you know who say, "I wish I had," you know, so I have an interesting story. I have a song, you know, and they never do
anything about it.
Never do it. Yeah, they sit on the fringe and they go and enjoy. But he went and fulfilled his passion. He sought his, you know, his bliss, and very happy, man. Very, I'm just saying, man. I feel blessed to have been contemporary of that. Yeah, and so as I said, we wait to see the next. But you will be hearing the music from Counter Joy. Yeah, you will be
absolutely, we'll be in communication because I'm looking forward to that production, and we'll talk further once that music is released. You know, and of course we will make sure that it is heard throughout the world here on Caribbean Forum and the Uhuru Radio Network. What's new for Edgar Nkosi White, and anything else on the horizon other than this?
I'm speaking to you from City College, where I'm a writer in residence. I've just been doing my latest production with Langston Hughes, his work, you know, because going that history of Harlem and Langston and, you know, him being my teacher and so forth. So it's a continuum there, too. I'll be leaving here, excuse me, in 2 weeks, so I'll be going to Barbados,
okay,
doing some workshops there with some interesting Guyanese. Should be very, very interesting. We're going to be doing some theater workshops, and from there, home to Montserrat, and working on the play, Count It All Joy. So it's going to be, as I say, a fascinating year. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be probably out of the U.S. for about 6 months.
Sometimes you do need to take that break, huh?
Rather than being carried off, yes. You know, you know what's beautiful on being able to be home in the Caribbean?
Oh, there's no place like home.
Enjoy it while you can enjoy it and not be wheeled around, you know?
And that's
while you can actually use your legs and go and take a sea bath.
Here we go.
That's good to me. That's paradise. So,
well, Edgar, I'm looking forward to that production, Count It All Joy, in which a late Mighty Arrow should have been, let's say, starring or featured. And I wish you all the best. Yeah, he will be. Absolutely. He'll be in one way or the other. And we look forward to that. We're chatting with Edgar Nkosi White, the noted playwright and author, Lament for Rastafari, Masada, The Long and Cheerful Road to Slavery, and The Rising. And he's now in pre-production for the new musical, which is dedicated to his friend Arrow, who we lost on Wednesday, or who made his transition on Wednesday. What's your thoughts? Thank you very much, Edgar, and we'll be in touch. What's your thoughts? They become words. What's your words? They become actions. What's your actions? They become habits. What's your habits? They become character. What's your character? For it becomes your destiny. If it is to be, it is up to me. I'm Ron Bob Semple. Thank you for listening. And shall see you next week here on Caribbean Forum. Heard every Saturday from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time on the Uhuru Radio Network. And please keep our brothers and sisters in Bermuda in your thoughts and prayers, as Hurricane Igor is expected to just walk right through that island. Peace.